From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to the Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
That's right, everybody. It is the Brian and Vinny Show. It is February 16, 2014 here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We have Vinny V here on the line, as always, and a lot of stuff to talk about. Vinny, what's going on?
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Vinny?
I am doing well.
I heard that, I don't even know if Craig wants us to talk about the what happened yesterday, but did you tweet that picture or did you text it to me?
Craig did, actually.
Oh, Craig did?
Yeah.
Well, we won't go into great detail, but how was the how was whatever it was that you did yesterday that required you to wear a suit?
It was just fine.
I don't want to cause any more troubles like I did on the last show.
I don't know what trouble you could cause here. I will just say there was a momentous event in Craig's family, a happy event, and Craig held up well. And there was one point where I caught him wiping his face. He insists he was wiping away sweat. That's not what I think I saw.
Well, I've hung out a lot with Craig, and he's a very sweaty man.
Well, you make a sound point.
So he may have been telling the truth. All right, everybody, we're going to talk about NXT today on the show, and Lucha Libre USA as well. And if you listen to Thursday's Brian and Vinny Show, I want to apologize. Apologize to all of you, including Missy Hyatt, who I think has determined the show has finally jumped the shark. Is that correct?
She may have. I don't know if she's going to give us another chance or not. Her exact words were that we, and I quote, shit the bed.
Yeah, that's not good.
I can't argue.
It was a terrible show, everybody. I do apologize for that. But I have found a solution for when I go overseas, as I like to call it here. And the solution is, fuck Skype. I'm done with it. So from now on, anybody who appears as a guest on this show when I'm out of town is just going to do it over the telephone. And all problems will be solved. So I have no problems with Vinny tonight on his telephone there, on his cell phone. It won't be as good as if you were on Skype, but it's going to do for tonight. And that is my new solution. So that should solve all the problems. I know a lot of people can't understand why I can't get Skype to work, but it's hotel wireless, everybody. It sucks. Hotel wireless sucks everywhere in the world. And trying to do Skype over 4G also sucks. So Skype is out the window when traveling. Vinny is here on the phone, and it should work out great. Isn't that right, Vinny?
Yes. That's what I was going to say.
I think the other problem is you shouldn't watch Impact anymore when you're going to be doing this show.
I think the solution is I should not watch Impact ever again.
We got to find some sort of solution where you can enjoy Impact again.
Okay. How about Cold Fusion? Can you do that too?
Have what?
Cold Fusion. Can you do that too?
I can't do Cold Fusion. Although it's funny you should mention that.
I can't enjoy Impact.
This is, you know what you should do? Because I did this right before I went on the show here, which is why I'm in such a jolly mood. I was watching Gilligan's Island. If you just watched a little bit of Gilligan's Island after watching Impact and before doing this show, you would end up in a great mood. Gilligan's Island is the best television show of all time.
Explain.
You've never watched Gilligan's Island?
Of course I have.
When I was a little kid, Gilligan's Island was my favorite television show in the entire world. I think because when I was little, I looked like Gilligan. That may have been part of it. But
been known to wear a hat like Gilligan as well.
I have. It's been a while, but it's just a great television show. It's a happy show. There's little strife. Although today there was an evil man who tried to hypnotize everybody on the island. to commit some sort of crime. I'm still not entirely sure what happened on the show, but I know that there was a monkey.
How? Okay, wait a minute.
There was a magic ring and a monkey. That's all I know.
Well, that does sound awesome.
That
sounds
great.
Like an amazing television show right there.
I would say it was the best show that I watched all day, except I did watch Lucha Libre USA, which I sincerely, greatly enjoyed this particular episode. But we'll get to that. Now, what are you going to say about Gilligan?
I just always wonder, because I have not watched it in many years. As I recall, they would have guest show stars once in a while. And somehow, all these people had no problem fighting this mysterious Al. I had no problem getting home. But the castaways were always stuck there.
Well, the professor noted many times after, and by the way, Gilligan's Island, I still can't believe it only lasted 3 seasons. And I look at some of the shows that have lasted more than 3 seasons, like Impact, for example. It's just baffling to me that this thing got canceled after 3 seasons. But the professor always noted that here I was, I had 10 million degrees, and I could make anything in the world out of coconut and bamboo, but I couldn't fix a hole in a boat. It's true.
That is a solid point. And the other question must be asked if you're a Gilligan's Island aficionado. Marianne or Ginger?
Ginger.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, there's another, since I'm in Hawaii right now, and I was just watching Gilligan where they're stranded on this deserted island. I guess this was, I haven't watched like a full season of Gilligan's Island in like a couple of decades. And when I did watch it, I was a little kid. So, I don't know if this was like the whole point of the show, but I'm sitting here watching the show and they're stranded on a deserted island and they seem happy as can be. The ladies are lovely. And so the question is, why are they working so hard to get off this goddamn island?
I just remember this. They did a movie where that exact same thing happened. They got back to society and they hated it.
Yeah. And then they went back on the boat and they ended up back on the island, right?
Back to the island again.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that today, and I've been thinking about that here in Hawaii as well. When we have a hotel down by the beach, and there are some fellas here who they got nothing. They have, maybe they have a job. I'm not even sure. It doesn't look like it, but they hang around on the beach all day. They appear to be eating. They appear to be healthy, and so it kind of makes you. You know, you're sitting here. I'm going to be going back home. We're all working our ass off. We're trying to save money for retirement so that we can go and hang out on the beach. What the hell are we wasting all that time for? You know what I mean? Just pack up and go live on the beach.
I absolutely know what you mean.
Just pack up and go live on the beach, you know?
Yeah.
The only reason I'm not doing that, everybody, is because of you guys right now listening to this. That's the only reason I'm going back home. Otherwise, I'd just give all this up and go live on the beach. Seem like they're doing all right. Anyway, that's my speech for today. Let's do these shows.
Well, usually we watch them in order, but I don't know what order these go in. I guess NXT was first.
NXT was first. That's correct.
NXT opened with a 6-woman tag match. Team of Natalya and Emma and it's Bayley! It's Summer and Sasha and Alicia. First of all, I have been informed. I believe it was Bix that clued me in, but somebody let me know. Sasha is not Alicia's sister.
Alicia Fox? Did you say that?
Yeah.
Oh, you're an idiot.
I've said it many times.
Yeah, that's not
Alicia
her sister.
Alicia has a sister in NXT. It's not her.
Actually, I think her sister's been cut from NXT, if I recall correctly.
Even better. How are you?
If anybody has any corrections on anything we're talking about here, we are live, so use the hashtag F4WLive, and I'll be monitoring that as Vinny makes mistake after mistake here. Go ahead.
That's right. So I was in the middle of going off on a spiel on how this is the ultimate example of how this is a really good 6-person tag. And I was going to go off on how this is the ultimate example of how the NXT girls are better than the WWE girls. And I realized 4 of these women are now on the main roster.
That's true.
So I don't know if that's a fair example to make.
But this was 1,000 times better than any women's match you'd see on Raw.
Yes, or SmackDown. Yes. This is a really, really good 6-girl tag. I got the heat on Bayley, and I got the hot tag. Hot tag ran wild. Alicia had some minor problems communicating with her teammates. And in the end, when she tried to tag out, they all abandoned her. And Emma put her away with the Emma lock. So no BFFs for Alicia, but a thumbs up for this match.
I think the most important thing about this match was the fact that William Regal put over Alicia Fox. He said she was his favorite female wrestler in terms of ability. And some of you are still making fun of me to this day from when years ago I talked about how Alicia Fox was going to be the best worker of all of the women in WWE by a wide margin in a very short period of time. And yes, at the end of the day, I was wrong. But you know what? I saw the same thing that William Regal sees, which is this girl is such a great athlete. She's a natural athlete. She moves great. She just never figured out how to work. That's the problem. If she would have figured out how to work, she'd blow everybody away. But for whatever reason, she never figured it out, and it's too bad. And she is good.
Aiden English wrestled Colin Cassidy. I have been calling Colin Cassidy one of the Jersey Shore guys for a while. It turns out he is from Queens. Although maybe that's going to be part of the breakup between him and Enzo. So they had a match. It was competent. The highlight of the match, and perhaps the highlight of my life, Aiden English ducked a big boot near the finish. And as he ducked under Cassidy's foot, he popped up, while running the ropes, mind you, and shouted, "Ha-ha!" And then very shortly thereafter, he hit the director's cut and he won. The fans called for an encore, and he did not give them one. And they also were booing him when he sang in the beginning, so they finally figured out he's a bad guy.
I thought the best part of this show was when Aiden English comes out, and all of the announcers are talking about how this is William Regal's favorite wrestler. And I don't know what happened, but Regal gets all flustered about, he's flummoxed. And I'm sitting here trying to write down all these words that William Regal was. And finally he mutters what he actually is. And he says, "I'm all cock-a-hoop."
That is a great word.
That's what he said. He's all cock-a-hoop.
I hate being cock-a-hoop.
So yeah, he's a big fan of Aiden English.
The long promo segment with Sami Zayn and Antonio Cesaro, who was in fact Antonio Cesaro here. Sami came out, fans sang the Olé song. He said he had watched the footage of his loss to Cesaro over and over and over again, still had not figured out what he had done wrong. Cesaro came out and said, "Sami, it doesn't matter what you did. There was no moment there where you had a chance to beat me." And they went back and forth for a while. Sami said, Cesaro said Sami would have a great career in NXT. They talked about competing all over the world, and he had seen Cesaro, who was fighting on Raw SmackDown every week, and he still came down to NXT to fight. He's that much of a competitor. So why are you afraid to fight me? And finally, Cesaro asked if Sami's knee would be medically cleared, if he was going to have any excuses in this next match. And Zayn said, "My knee will be fine. I will have no excuses. I agree." He offered a handshake, and then the greatest thing ever happened. Fans began to chant for a pinky promise.
Yes.
And Sami's holding out his hand, and he looks out of the fans, and not a lot of people could have gotten away with this, but Sami Zayn did. And he just turned, and he held out his pinky. And this place went nuts. Like, this is one of those moments that it can only happen in professional wrestling. There's no other environment in the world where something like this can happen and be so great. So, immediately after that, Cesaro said his answer was still no. He kicked Sami in the knee, started to walk away, but Hunter blocked his entrance. Said the fans wanted this match, and so he was booking Cesaro versus Zayn for the live show on the 24th, I believe.
27th, February 27th.
27th, yes. So, went a little long, but it was really good.
I thought this segment was so awesome. I thought it was so awesome. So, he comes out here, both of the guys, actually. Cesaro was great, and Sami was great, and I love that the whole segment is just built around. They had a really great match. Sami Zayn got beaten, and now he can't sleep. He's just racking his brain trying to figure out why he couldn't beat Antonio Cesaro. And Cesaro comes out, and he's just such a cock. He's like, you're wasting your time. You don't need to lose any sleep. You didn't do anything wrong. You could just never beat me. And Zayn gets more and more upset about it. And I don't know if WWE is still in this mode, but I know for a long, long time, they had a deal where they didn't want their guys playing to the crowd. And we can't interview the guys nowadays, so I don't know if that's changed. But this was a perfect example of two guys who've been around the horn. You know, Generico and Claudio been wrestling forever. And when you're wrestling on the indie scene, it's totally different. It's all about the crowd. It's supposed to be. I mean, for a lot of guys, it's just do a bunch of moves. But if you're good, you listen to the crowd and you play to the crowd. And these guys have been doing that forever. And so if you would have taken, like, you know, any other random NXT rookie and brought him out here, I don't know if they would have known how to even react to Pinky Promise. But these guys knew exactly what to do. And Sami Zayn knew exactly how to do it. And it was awesome. And they're about to do the pinky swear. Everybody is so excited. And then Claudio kicks his leg out of his leg. And down he goes and storms out. And I just thought this segment was awesome. All built around who's the better man. And it's all built around making you want to know which guy really is the better man. I just thought this segment was awesome. This was the best thing on NXT in weeks.
It was really good. Ty Dillinger versus CJ Parker. For those of you who are paying attention to this kind of thing, Ty Dillinger is the former Sean Spears. Fans still hate Parker. And so they cheered literally everything Dillinger did. But it didn't matter. Parker won with an airplane spin and the palm strike. And he got a promo saying he did not understand why people booed him, even though he recycled and he drove a Ford Fiesta. He yelled at the fans for burning down trees, melting the ice caps, and poaching the animals. And as a result of
burning down trees?
That's one of the things he said, yes. Huh. And the crowd responded to this tongue lashing by chanting, USA, USA. So they're fine with melting ice caps and burning down trees and poaching animals. So he said they had no love for him, so he had no love for them, and he left. And so now he is a mean hippie.
Yeah, that's what we need. I liked when the fans chanted Purple Power at Ty Dillinger because they hated CJ Parker so much.
They hated CJ Parker so much they would chant for anyone, and they happen to have purple gear, so they chanted Purple Power.
And what all happened to CJ Parker afterwards? He was all cock-a-hoop.
The main event, not making this up, Wyatt Family versus Two Geeks. Geeks got no entrance. Geeks got no graphics. Wyatt's killed them in a minute. Harper got the win with a discus clothesline. Bray hit the other geek with Sister Abigail. Cut his usual crazy promo. Said they had never forgot where they came from, and NXT would always belong to them, and then it ended. What an odd main event.
That was very baffled, in fact. I don't know what's going on. It's like, it's one thing if NXT is like its own separate little universe, but as of the 27th, I mean, they're going to really be pushing NXT as something big. You know, they're doing a 2-hour live show head-to-head with Impact, coincidentally, on the network. And it's going to be, what do they call it? NXT Breakout or something?
Arrival, I believe.
Arrival. NXT is going to be like a big thing on the, they're going to be pushing it hard. And so you would think that there would be some sort of like consistency between what happens in NXT and in WWE. But apparently there's not, because Triple H on this show is like a big time babyface. And then we've got the Wyatt clan who come out here and they play complete babyface and get over huge. And it's just strange. It's just strange. But Wyatts were over huge. They were big baby faces. Everybody loved them. And then, there you go.
So that was NXT.
That was NXT.
We also watched Lucha Libre Masked Warriors. I believe you said you thoroughly enjoyed this show.
I did thoroughly enjoy the show. You didn't like it?
I thought it was a typical Masked Warrior show.
Really?
I'm not sure what the... I know, and then we'll get to it. So the show opened with the luchadors getting dressed in the locker room when a smoke bomb went off, and in charged the Right. And they attacked Supernova, and they attacked Magno, and they stole their masks. And the thing about the Right is that they are stupid heels, so they were not wearing gas masks. So they quickly began to succumb to their own smoke bomb, and they had to run for safety. But they did get the masks, these two men. RJ Brewer came down to the ring, had a camouflage bag. He claimed the masks were in there. He offered to bury the hatchet with his enemies if they would come down to the ring without their masks on and show proper legal documentation. Then, when they did not show, he had the bag hoisted above the ring and took a seat at ringside. Still there?
I am still here. We've run into a problem. The stream died, but don't worry about it. I'll get it fixed. Did you talk about the hilariously bad brawl involving Strong Man?
Strongman was there. Mostly I talked about smoke.
I see. Yes, they had absolutely hideous brawl involving Strongman. Just a bunch of guys backstage, and he was throwing the most horrendous punches you've ever seen, and grunting, and it was hilarious.
Yes, Marco Corleone and Shane Helms were backstage. Magno and Supernova were standing there unmasked, but in shadows, so we cannot see their faces. And Marco and Shane told their friends, Magno and Supernova, we will go down to the ring and buy you some time so you can try to find masks.
Yes, masks are very hard to come by in a Lucha Libre promotion.
That's true. And all luchadors have exactly one. They do not carry spares. Dean Ambrose Jr. and El Oriental came out to defend their tag titles. Supposed to be against Rocky Romero and Magno, but Magno had no mask, so he did not come out. And instead, out came Charlie Malice. I feel bad for how hard I laugh every time Kevin Kelly talks about Malice's rehabilitation.
It's almost like he's out of jail and everyone's trying to rehab him.
It might be, yes. So Timmy Eadless is enormous and terrible, and he hit a drop kick on Romero, and on landing, his enormous body fell across both of Romero's legs. That could have sucked. They had a U.S.-style tag match with the Heat on Romero for a long time, and Babyfaces made a big comeback. They were dives all over the place. And then in the middle of this big, hot comeback, Malice and Oriental started trading mat holds. Pretty strange. Finally, Malice locked in Malicious Intent, and Oriental tapped, but Romero was distracting the ref, so he's a shitty partner. Outran the Grim Reapers. They attacked everyone for the DQ, so no title change. And then Malice grabbed a chair, and he chased the Reapers out of the building. He ran backstage, and suddenly we got a very brief, wacky skit where there was a close-up of Charlie Malice's face, and he growled, and he jumped on a motorbike and drove off into the night.
Mm-hmm. All right, I got the stream back up, so now I got to get my comments on this. First off, the RJ Brewer promo that opened up this show. I don't know why, but when he called them crooks, I laughed. He had the masks of Magno and Nova, as noted. We can't find other masks here on this Lucha show. And then in the tag match, I got to mention that I have a new favorite wrestler in the entire world, and it is El Oriental. This guy is... he is now on my list of guys, if I ever have another match... El Oriental is welcome to be one of my opponents. This is one of those guys, if you watch him, who does, I don't want to say he does nothing, but he does, how can I even explain this?
He does no more than is required?
He does less than what is required, but somehow he still gets away with it. Like, he'll toss a guy into the ropes, okay? And the guy's going to come back and do like a running Hurricane Rana. So, El Oriental, I guess like he knows that you're not looking at him. You're looking at the guy who's running. So he doesn't even pretend to do anything when he tosses the guy into the ropes. He tosses the guy into the ropes and he stands there with his arms by his sides and he just waits for the guy to leap up and do the Hurricane Rana. But like, he's never in the wrong spot. He's never out of position. He's always where he needs to be. He's like, I can't even explain it. Like, he's awesomely great doing a very limited number of things. And I just watched him the entire match, and it was just, I thought he was great. Some people probably will say that El Oriental sucks, but I thought that he was awesome, looking at it from the perspective of, who in this match would I want to have a match with? And
not Tini Ablis.
It's not Tini Ablis, I'll tell you that. But I would have no problem having a match with El Oriental.
So they went to commercial, and afterwards, last thing we had seen was Charlie Malice driving his motorcycle off into darkness. And Rebecca Reyes then interviewed a hotel employee who claimed to have seen three men jump into a car and drive off. I have seen a lot of wrestling in my life. And I've seen a lot of bad acting on those wrestling shows. But this was right near the bottom level of acting I've ever seen on a wrestling show.
I think the honest to God got an employee.
I'm sure it was. I'm 100% certain it was. Yeah. This one was on Nexus, that's for sure.
You want to know what I wrote down for this segment? The entirety of my notes.
Sure.
Rebecca on the case has poor witness.
Has poor witness?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the entire extent
of
it.
She claimed to have seen three men jump into a car. Although when pressed, are you sure it was three and not two? She was not sure.
Yeah. There was a lot happening. So your job, Rebecca, is to go find out what happened here. And so you find one witness who doesn't even know what they saw. This is a poor investigation.
Curly Owen and Helms came out for a promo. Kelly said they had been a great duo. I guess you didn't watch all of season one, but I don't remember them actually having a tag match. So they ran down Brewer for a while. They dared Liz Mark and his crew to come out, and Corleone, I guess they call him the Italian Eagle or the American Eagle, but he does this chicken dance.
Yeah, that's why he flaps his wings. He's the Eagle.
Oh, it's horrible.
You don't like
horrible. It? No.
I don't want to say... Marco Corleone seems like a really nice guy. I don't like to bury anybody, as you're all well aware, and I'm sure he's a nice guy, but... He still looks like he's been in the business about 1 year after all these years.
Yes.
And I don't even know how it's possible. You know, sometimes it's not even like he's bad. You know what I mean? Like sometimes
you see
a guy and it's like, okay, you know, this guy sucks. But Corleone doesn't look like he sucks. It just looks like he's done this about a year and he's going to get a lot better as time wears on. But then you realize that he's actually been doing this about 10 years. And then you start to go, why did this stall out at 365 days? You know what I mean?
I suspect that if we went back and watched the Natural Born Thrillers matches with WCW, he would look exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Which I guess is a positive, kind of, right?
He has not declined.
He's not declined. He has not declined or inclined. Would that be the proper terminology?
I am really not sure anymore.
I'm going to find out how long he's... I know we've checked before how long he's been wrestling. It was like 1998 or something like that, wasn't it?
Well, he was in WCW, so it's been at least 13 years.
Let's see here. Marco Corleone has been wrestling all over the world, mind you, since 1999.
Yes.
That's incredible. That means he's been in this business for 15 years.
Yes.
And again... He's not bad. He just still looks completely green. It's actually kind of incredible. You know, this is going to sound like the stupidest thing anyone's ever heard, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's amazing to me how some wrestlers are really good and some aren't. You know what I mean here?
I'll sit back and ponder that one for a while.
I don't ever think about this fact for a while. But, I mean, I was really thinking about it when I watched in this match, actually. You've got Marco Corleone, who debuted in 1999. And then, in the same match, you've got Sadistico, who is Paul London, who has been wrestling for, how long has he been wrestling? Let's find out here. Paul London.
A while.
Paul London debuted in the year 2000. So Marco Corleone has actually been wrestling longer than Paul London. And I watched this match, and it's like, Paul London is really, really, really good. You know what I mean?
Correct.
And it's not like this is UFC where, you know, Anderson Silva is really good. He's a great mixed martial artist. He's got all these natural abilities. He's just, you know, he's been doing this and blah, blah, blah. And then you've got another guy who he hasn't been in it quite as long, or maybe he's old or whatever. And there's like there's a skill disparity because it's a real sport. We're talking about professional wrestling, where if you can just figure it out in your brain, I mean, maybe there's certain things you can't do athletically, but I mean, there's plenty of people in the world who don't do a lot. El Oriental is a great example, but you know, they figured it out. So they're really good workers. And it was just kind of amazing watching that, going, Paul London has really figured this out. And Marco Corleone really has not figured this out. And they've been doing this almost exactly as long. And what is it that makes somebody really figure it out and another guy just not figure it out at all? And I don't have an answer for you, but it's kind of, it amazes me sometimes. It seems so stupid, but it's amazing to me.
There's something is, it's going to sound simplistic, but the fact is some guys get it and some guys don't.
I guess so.
And Romeo especially, he's obviously huge, good-looking, hell of an athlete, works his ass off. So like you say, he's not bad, but you can tell he still just doesn't quite have a clue.
Just doesn't.
That's why he dances like a chicken.
Yes.
So, anyway, after all this, we had another tag match. It was Corleone and Shane Helms against Sadistico and Lismark. All four men were wearing red and black, which annoyed me greatly. It was really good when Paul London was in there. Corleone, I'm starting to feel bad about burying this poor guy now.
I know, nice guy. I mean, you know, and he's tall.
Yeah, and successful. So it's not like he should be ashamed of his career or anything. But
no, not at all. He's been all over the world.
That's right. But he got this hot tag, and, you know, I was a shitty wrestler. But I got the idea of the guy gets the hot tag and he stands in the ring and the bad guys feed him.
Yeah, you stand in the middle.
I could get that much.
And everybody else runs at you.
That much down.
Yeah. You stand in the middle, everybody runs at you, and they fall down.
Yeah. Marco was running all over the ring, hitting clotheslines. He ran like half a mile just clotheslining people. So somewhere in here, Lismark accidentally kicks Sadistico. They both fell outside. Corleone hit Air Italia onto both Rudos. And then Shane Helms pins Sadistico with a chokeslam.
That's exactly what he did.
Awesome. So Corleone challenged Lismark to a title match, and Lismark refused and walked away. But I realize that kind of happens in Lucha all the time, but it just struck me as funny because this promotion does not seem very structured.
Really?
So If the champion can just say, no, I don't want him to defend my title, is he not going to make him? Can he just essentially retire a champion right now?
Well, you know, I was watching this and I thought, okay, they're obviously trying to set up Lismark and Corleone. So why didn't Corleone pin Lismark? And I was thinking about that, but now as you mentioned this, I mean, he challenged Lismark and Lismark refused. And if there were a central authority, I mean, there really is not at this point any reason to make that match because he didn't pin Lismark. You know, two other guys were involved in the finish. So,
yes.
I don't know. I mean, you know, you can't just the challenger doesn't have to accept any challenge. There should be a reason for it. So I presume that Corleone will have to win some sort of match to get a shot at the title, which is fine.
I guess so.
I actually think this show is I have really maybe I'm the only guy in the world. Which is fine. You know, it's my show. Maybe I'm the only guy in the world that really has been enjoying this season of Lucha Libre USA. I feel like it actually is structured. Like when I watch week to week, I mean, stuff is making sense show to show. So it's not like, you know, it's not like things are just happening willy nilly. I know who the main characters are. I know what they're, I know who they're with and who they don't like and the motivations of a lot of them. So I like this show.
The scary shadow guy who had Got Blood written on the wall last week. This week, the message on the wall said there was terror in the twilight.
I don't know what that means.
I hope we finish this show before. I hope we get a chance to see this guy. I'm actually curious to see what the payoff is going to be. The Minis offered to share their masks with Magno and Supernova because they had spares, but the masks were too small.
Because they're Minis and so they have small heads?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's exactly how it works, is it?
I would assume it would depend on the Mini.
I guess that's true.
I have seen some Minis with large heads.
Actually, you know what? A Mini, the Minis in this company, I believe, are midgets, and so their entire bodies are smaller. A dwarf would be like Hornswoggle, who would have a normal-sized torso and then small arms and legs. So the Minis, actually, their masks wouldn't fit. I think that would be correct, actually.
Ready Sky then arrived, and she said she had something they could use as a last resort. RJ Brewer were still at ringside. Out came Petey Williams and Lizzie Valentine Carter with a ladder and a can of gasoline. Petey cut a promo in the ring. The sound quality was awful. He said Magno and Supernova had not shown up, so this left with no choice but to burn the masks in front of the world.
I thought this was so awesome because RJ Brewer is buddies with Petey and Lizzie. And so he must know what the plan is for the evening. You know what I mean? So
yeah. They
come down with the ladder and he gets in the ring and he's just kind of standing there quietly. And Petey's cutting his promo, which you can't hear over the mic. And then he mentions that since they're not coming down, he's going to do a ritualistic burning of the masks. And as soon as he says that they're going to burn the masks, RJ Brewer just goes, ha 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 ha. Like, this is news to him, and he's so excited about what's going to happen this evening. RJ Brewer is really growing on me. Between that and Crooks, it's been a big week for him.
So Petey started to climb the ladder, outran Magno and Supernova. They were wearing the Grim Reaper masks.
The Green Reaper.
This is what Rebecca Reyes had given them. Not sure where she found these, but she did.
Well, that's part of the storyline. Where did she find them?
Indeed. So they, for all intents and purposes, had a ladder match. Officially, it was not a match at all. It was a long brawl involving ladders and climbing them to get something. I don't know why they didn't just have a ladder match, but they didn't. So they brawled everywhere, a lot of stupid stuff. Brewer, in particular, took a bump into the giant ladder and nearly bent it in half. Well, it sucked.
Yeah.
So, the right, I guess this spot is why they cannot have made it a ladder match, because as noted, there was especially no mask. They just didn't want the Mexicans to get the masks back. So, they decided to take the big ladder and leave. So, the luchadors now, there was a short ladder in the ring that was not tall enough to reach the bag. So, they were stuck. And the right is standing up on the ramp and pointing and laughing. Ha ha, we outsmarted these suckers. And then the luchadors found a solution. They looked under the ring and grabbed a taller ladder.
Because every ring has got tons of ladders underneath it.
They spawn. The breeding ground for ladders. So eventually the right went running down. They brawled more. And finally, Supernova was left alone in the ring. He climbed the big ladder. He got the big mat. Got the bag. Pulled her down. They won the brawl. But then when they opened the bag, there were no masks inside, just an Uncle Sam top hat. And the heels cackle from the ramps. And the ending of the show was the best part.
Actually, before you get to the climax of this show, I did love how the baby faces, I was actually wondering about it. I don't know if they did this on purpose or what, but the last 30 seconds of the ladder match, the heels just kind of leave. And the baby faces climb up and they grab the masks and the heels didn't run back to try and stop them. Maybe they'd been thrown outside or whatever, but it seemed like, man, you know, this is why didn't they even try and go back and get the thing? So babyfaces go up and they get the bag from the top of the ladder and they bring it down and they cut to the classic shot of the heels, tails tucked between their legs, as they say, and they're just slinking up the ramp. They've been foiled and they're just so sad to have been foiled. And then the baby faces open it up and they pull out the deal and the heels just, they go from slinking and cowering to cackling at how ingenious they were with this brilliant plan. I thought this was great.
So the question now is, if the masks were not in the bag, where are they? Cut to the rights I can only describe as their secret lair. There's like the Arizona State flag on the wall, and a couch, and a television set. And sitting on the couch is Strongman. He's holding Magno's mask in one hand and Supernova's mask in the other, and he holds them up, and he rears his head back, and he emits a hearty, hearty belly laugh and cackle. And that's how the show ended.
That's how it ended.
It's the best use of Strongman ever.
I just love these heels. They laugh all the time. You know what I mean? They're so happy.
Heels are great.
Yes, they're so happy at their diabolical deeds that they cannot help but laugh uproariously all the time at their evil deeds. I love it. I love this show. I love Lucha Libre USA. I don't care what anybody says. And we're on episode 5 of season 2. I don't know how many episodes we have left. But hopefully we find out who the Twilight fella is. Hopefully it's not a vampire. And what other mysteries? Where Rebecca got the masks. That's right. It could be Vampiro. I don't want to know any spoilers is the thing. So if Cubs fan is listening, I don't want to know any spoilers for this particular show right here. And that's that, everybody. Those are the two shows. And I got nothing more to say. Vinny, do you have anything you'd like to add after the debacle would you like to thank anybody without giving too much information away?
I would like to say that we have some, as I mentioned before, we have some very annoying listeners. We also have some very, very thoughtful and generous listeners. And those who, there could come a time when I'll thank them individually. But suffice to say that some of you people rule.
And by the way, since my buddy Clayton that I met here in HANA is getting ready to go to Vegas for the convention this year. And we don't have really a lot of information about Vegas yet, but it's probably going to be over the July 4th weekend. I'm pretty sure that July 4th is a Friday. Vinny can check while I'm rambling here. Pretty sure that July 4th is a Friday. And then the UFC, I'm pretty sure, is going to be July 5th. It's not official yet. For those asking me, I mean, I can't confirm anything. I'm not UFC, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be July 5th. And once the whole WrestleMania festivities are over, I'm sure that Ed will start a page. We make fun of Ed a lot, deservedly so, because he can really be a numbskull. But Ed is great when it comes to arranging all of these get-togethers. So if you are thinking of going to WrestleMania, you still have 7 weeks, and you can go up to Facebook, and there is a F4W/Wrestling Observer Facebook page for WrestleMania. And if you can't find any of this, by the way, do not hesitate to harass Ed. His email address is f4wfan@hotmail.com. That's f4wfan@hotmail.com. He'll answer all the emails. He'll give you all the information about WrestleMania weekend. And then once WrestleMania is wrapped up, he'll start putting together all the information for the Vegas convention, which is coming up in July. So if you've never gone to a convention before, I'll start plugging it right now. You'll have the time of your life. It is very difficult to not have the time of your life over 4th of July weekend in Las Vegas with a bunch of crazy wrestling fans from the Empire. So get ready to make your summer plans for Vegas. So, That's my plug right there. I had one more thing to say, but I can't for the life of me remember what it was. So I guess we'll wrap it up. So listen, tomorrow we're going to be back after Raw with Dave, and we'll be doing a post-Raw report. We may do a Twitter question mailbag show in the morning, but I'm not sure. So I'll alert everybody on Twitter one way or the other tomorrow. And then Tuesday will be an all-day travel day since I'm going backwards in time. Forwards in time? I don't know which way I'm going, but I'll be in the air all day long. So probably no shows on Tuesday, but then we'll be back in action on Wednesday with all of the usual shows. So that's the plan there. And I think that's it. Vin, anything else?
I'm good.
All right, everybody. We're going to wrap it up. So that's it from here. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Bye.